as we've got baseball coming up. But right now, we're going to look through the window of baseball for Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thanks, Marty. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good today. I feel the Giants are going to win a game today. I don't know why. They've got Ty Block pitching, and he's from that area. He's got 100 people coming to the game, including his father. He goes against Chatwood, who gets hit hard in Colorado. They lost five straight, and there's just something about baseball that says today's the day.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, they're 18 and a half games out, but you know, they're not as awful as that sounds. I mean, it's as poorly as they played. You know, Block's been a real shining light, and he'll be all pumped up today with all the people in the stands. So, yeah, why not? Why not get out of there and make it a nicer flight to, was Atlanta they're going next?
Yeah, they got four in the new ballpark in Atlanta. And have you heard anything about the ballpark down there?
No, I haven't. But the way it goes down there, they'll have another one opening next year. So
right. Well, what they did, I guess, what they did is they built the ballpark in an outlying part, I think, and they built like a town around it. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the old Lou Wolf idea. You know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And well, that's kind of what they're hoping to do in Oakland, depending on where they land. I mean, they might land already in a little village type atmosphere, but if they wind up at the Coliseum site, they'll build a little village around that. So it always helps.
Yeah, and that's what they did in Atlanta. So it's a place where hotels, you hang out, and the whole thing, even when the games are not going on. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons. But the bigger issue is, for some reason, the ball flies like it did at the – what a great name for a ballpark, the launching pad.
Yeah, the old Fulton County Stadium.
Right.
Yeah. And, it's just on that topic, it makes you realize and remember how great, you know, Glavine and Smoltz, you know, those guys. There was a team built around pitching in that ballpark, and they succeeded. You know, they had great hitting, too, but that pitching staff was just phenomenal. You really have to appreciate what they did.
Yeah, you know, we did a show in 1993 on one of the greatest games, and it was a Friday, you know, that last series down in L.A., Giants-Dodgers, and they won until the last Sunday. Of course, we call that the Solomon Torres game.
Yes.
But in the meantime, I'm sure you remember this, Colorado was playing Atlanta, and this was the new Colorado team. And they got swept by Atlanta, and I looked it up. I said, let's see who pitched for Atlanta. And it was Avery, Lavin, and Maddox, you know.
Yeah, I left out Maddox there as I was talking about them. Yeah, and, you know, Fred McGriff leading the way. And, that was I remember being in L.A. and just knowing that the Braves were going to do that. And, you know, the night before and all the talk about Solomon Torres and everybody trying to get excited about it, I said, yeah, that's the right move. This is great. It's a risk. You know, they're going to go for it. It's going to work out great. And, oh, well.
Not exactly. Well, you know, the truth is, you know, he didn't do very well. But by the fourth inning, he was gone. And then the roof fell in. I think it was Dave Berber. I could be wrong. But after that, the roof fell in after that. And then they got beat like 12-1 or something.
Yeah, it was no contest.
We did a show, Greatest Game, this morning, one of Willie McCovey's games in 1978, where he, again, it was a Friday night Dodgers, and the Sunday game was the Mike Ivey Grand Slam game, mm-hmm. which you all remember.
Yeah.
There was McCovey driving in five runs in one game, and, you know, does he get lost in our shuffle of the Bay Area a little bit, and it's so Willie Mays-centric? Do we lose sight of McCovey sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there's always a lot of talk about Mays, and of course, absolutely, there should be. And he's always around and reminding people of, you know, just, it's just such a great thing to see him around the ballpark and everything else. And then, you know, Bonds, you know, dominated everything, all the headlines, for good or bad, but for power hitting. And you do forget a little bit about McCovey, but especially if you didn't see him play, he's a little bit of a mystery. But if you did see him play, I mean, he never fades from the memory. There can't have been many more menacing hitters in the batter's box than this guy, with that incredible quick, long, powerful swing, and just hitting these screaming line drives down the right field line. And pitchers feared him, I think, as much as anyone, even Bonds. I mean, they didn't walk him like they walked Bonds, so they couldn't. The lineup was too packed, but he was a real treasure.
Yeah, he had, and the one show we did about 1969, he had 45 intentional walks in 19, which in those days,
okay,
that was a
yeah, that is a lot, yeah.
It was a tremendous amount, and just to follow that up for a second, in 68, he had a great season, but that was the year Bob Gibson had 1.12, and he got the MVP for the Cardinals. And May said to McCovey, said, look, you should have been the MVP. And McCovey, you know, of course, the modest man he is, said, okay. But then when he went out in 1969, he actually went out with the purpose of saying, you know something, I'm going to be the MVP this year, and had one of the most amazing years you could ever have.
Yeah, and, you know, anybody who had a great offensive season in 68, that's something to really take note of. Didn't the American League batting title was like 301 or something? I mean, it was really, really low. There were very few 300 hitters. It was a pitcher's year. And, you know, for a hitter to really stand out in that season, as McCovey did, shows how special he was.
Yeah, Yastrzemski, 302.
Yeah, 302.
And second was the legendary Danny Cater.
Yes, I picture him with Kansas City. I don't know who
That's
he was
right.
with then, but
I think it was 296, and it leads me to this: home runs are just flying out of the parks here. Walks, strikeouts, home runs. Can you imagine if baseball had a season where the leading hitter hit 302 and the pitchers dominate? I mean, they would go nuts. They I don't know what they would do.
Yeah. It's an amazing contrast now. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the ball being juiced now, and you see things that don't look terribly plausible, you know, a fly ball to right. And, of course, if you're talking about Yankee Stadium or Coors or Philly or Cincinnati, those parks are bandboxes anyway. And it's a great year to be a power hitter, and everybody's, you know, got the launch angle. Everybody's swinging from the heels, the uppercut, to get the ball in the air because that's where the money is, and that's the era we're in. Yeah, it may not last, but it's pretty interesting.
Well, we had the Tuffy Rhodes era.
Yeah. Could forget? Boy, that one lasted a long time, didn't it?
Yeah,
that was longer than Cal Ripken, I think.
Now we've got the Scooter Jeanette era.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where the heck are these? Yeah, the Scooter Jeanette joining the four home run club. It's a little disturbing to me. I don't know.
That's a little weird. That's a little weird. But that's the game that they play today. That's the game today. We had some good clips. I don't know if you got to hear any of them this morning about Father's Day from the players. And you know, as I said, sometimes it's good to just hear who they are as people, as opposed to a post-game or pre-game comment of, you know, the slider and how you feel about hitting the pitch the right field and, you know, take me through this at bat, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it was really compelling to hear Brandon Belt talk about the ups and downs of being a major leaguer and how his father helps him. And it's a very real time. I think Father's Day somehow brings out real emotions in ballplayers.
Yeah, those are great stories too, because you know you hear so much about little league dads and youth ball, even up into the pros, where the dads are just a complete pain. But on the flip side, there's so many stories about dads who tried to stay out of the way, not become the story at the kids' games, and meanwhile, dispensing the right kind of advice, about life and baseball. And there's a lot of stories like that. You don't hear about them because the nice stories get buried sometimes. But on a day like this, they'll come out, and you'll hear stuff that you didn't know, and it gives you a little more insight as to the character of the kid, of the son.
Yeah, which is really important. I think it's really important because we tend to say, trade him. He stinks. Get rid of him. He's miserable. We never want to see him again. And then you hear the person talk about their lives and their parents and all that, and they become people.
Yeah.
You kind of feel, you feel foolish.
That's the thing about when you cover baseball and you get to know these guys, you're really back off saying, we'll get rid of him, or he's junk, he's garbage, that you hear so much. That's just not the case. It's not like taking out the trash,
No. Well, I enjoy doing Father's Day with you. You always have a good message on Father's Day, and what's it like for you today?
Well, I've got two lovely daughters making me breakfast right now as we speak, which is going to be the highlight.
Very good.
That's terrific, and my wife's joining in too. But it is a great day. I always think about, you remember Ray Boone, the very good American League ball player for Detroit in the 50s, and then he has a son, Bob Boone, who was one of the really, really good catchers and played forever. And then Bob Boone's got two kids in the bigs, Aaron and Brett Boone, and I just love that connection. And those, that's it's a It's a pretty class sequence of events there. Brett Boone kind of flamed out a little bit, but Aaron Boone is still around on TV, and I just love that the connection of three generations in the bigs.
Yeah, I've interviewed them all.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into Ray Boone at one of the All-Star games and sat down, and I've talked to Ray Boone, and it's one I've got to put together. You know, the three of them. That would be a lot of fun. I'm glad you brought him up. I haven't thought about him in a while. Well, have a great day. And enjoy it. I say the Giants win today. That's my prediction today.
Yep, and College World Series is going to be interesting. The Giants have a couple pitchers with Fullerton in Florida.
Oh,
and
right.
Louisville's playing today, I think. They've got the kid Brandon McKay,
oh, good.
Who is said to be either the best pure hitter or the best pitcher in college. He's both. And he's one of these guys that makes you wonder if he could do some hitting if he does make the bigs as well as pitching. So be watching that. Watching a lot of the College World Series to see the guys who were drafted.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Thanks, Bruce. Have a great day, and congratulations on being a good father, and have a nice day.
Hey, thanks so much, Marty. Really appreciate it.
Very good. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins. All right.